Welcome to What's Your Story Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Story. On this pod, I sit down with people of color leaders to understand how they've been able to use their superpowers to make an impact on our world. And I do it one story at a time. My guest on the pod today is affectionately known as the First Lady of Personal Branding, which I must say is probably a pretty dope way to introduce yourself at any icebreaker. And I've just been impressed by watching her journey and how she's been able to expand her impact through all the communities and networks that she participates. So with that, please welcome Melissa Dawn Simpkins to the show.
Hey, Matt. Good to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for taking time to join. So I do want to get into all the amazing things you're doing and how you are truly making an impact in so many lives. But I want to start with just giving a little bit of background on you and maybe sharing a story about what little Melissa may have been like.
Little Melissa was definitely not Melissa that's here today. She was in there, but it took some cultivating to get her out. I would say little Melissa, if I had to give adjectives, really had a desire to do something meaningful in the world. At the same time, had a lot of insecurities, was shy, definitely driven. I'm an oldest of two, so I'm the older sibling. And also overcoming and clarifying who I really was. And a lot of that had to do with some of the earlier experiences in my childhood that shaped me. I think early on, I dealt with rejection, like a lot of kids do, from whether it's bullying or because of the color of my skin. I dealt with trying to figure out how to own my voice and speak up for myself, you know, even to my parents, right? As you become more independent, and really trying to discover who I really am as a person. And that's an ongoing journey.
Yeah. Wow. So what do you think helped you, whether it be your family, your community, with making that journey and making that transition to be more confident to use that voice?
You know, it's interesting. I have always enjoyed talking, but I would do it kind of by myself. Like, I'd get a comb and a little recorder, and I'd be in the corner, literally like motivating speaking, but it would just be in the basement. And my mother realized that I would be petrified. I remember when I was learning to read, having to get up in front of the class in that moment, having to, you know, show that you could read. And I just never felt like I had the words or I had the confidence. And so my mom said, you know what, I'm going to put you in speaking classes. Like, you need to get into what was called forensics at the time. And she's like, you know, if you can't do anything else, you're going to learn how to be a good speaker. And that really was such a gift, because me in the corner in the basement doing what's probably now like a Melissa motivation, which I did these little videos, was really the inner me and what came naturally. But because of my environment, I allowed that voice to be silenced. Mm-hmm. And so giving me that opportunity through the gift of learning to cultivate my voice as a speaker, I think was one of the best things my mom did for me at that time for my confidence.
Yeah, that's great. And did you have an idea of what you wanted to be when you grew up?
I thought I did. I had lots of ideas. I remember always feeling pressure when people, you know, you're a kid, like, what do you want to be when you get older? I don't know if people still ask that question a lot, but growing up, they asked me that a lot. And I would say, oh, you know, maybe I want to be a doctor. Maybe I want to be a cosmetologist. I like doing hair. Maybe I want to be a broadcast major, because after I learned my voice and I thought, oh, that's what people who speak do. They go on and do television. And I realized I don't want to do that. I was a broadcast major in college for 2 days, and then I changed my major. So it was constantly this idea of finding myself, but also realizing, like, I know I'm supposed to do something. I know I'm supposed to do something meaningful. It's just, what is it? I wasn't sure.
Yeah, definitely. So I do want to jump into your professional journey. And, you know, you spent, I won't say the number of years, but a good amount of years as an entrepreneur leading a company. And I think right now there's a lot of buzz and excitement around being an entrepreneur. And there's a lot of people that are using the time period we're in to, you know, go after that dream. But you've been doing this for a while with your company, Velvet Suit Inc. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to go back to when you were starting or beginning to think about making that jump. Like, what was going through your mind? What were you thinking about? What were you balancing? And again, where did you pull that confidence from to say, okay, this is the time to do this?
Yeah, Matt, it was interesting time in my life. I started my business in my 20s, and I won't say how old I am now, but it was a while ago. And I vacillated for a long time. I think probably I literally have a notebook in my closet from when I was in grad school, and my grad capstone was entrepreneurial class. And I said, maybe in 10 years, I want to start a business. And literally, I forgot about that because I got into corporate America and I had a good job and I loved what I was doing. But then I had a life tragic situation happen in my 20s when my boyfriend died suddenly. And it caused me to really step back and reflect, like, okay, what am I really supposed to do with my life? And what could I do if I really gave myself permission to go all in for what my dream would be? And I went back and I said, oh, you know what, you've always said about entrepreneurship, but maybe is it the right time? Do you have the right resources? Do you have the right connections? But you've got a great job and you've got, you know, a check every month. And so there was this vacillation back and forth for probably about 3 years. And then I said to Melissa, if you're going to really make this happen, you've got to put together a plan and you've got to really get counsel. I hired a coach. I put together a business plan. I even, Matt, did not take a promotion in my job because I knew if I took the promotion, the new job would be my distraction. And I said, let's do this. So I literally said, once I committed and said I'm in, I did things like set a schedule. I would go to work, go work out, and like from 7 to 11, I was on my grind for the business. I got a business coach. I started saving money. I got a roommate. You know, I did the things that was going to help position me. But at the end of the day, I did all the check marks on the list, but I still was like, I don't know. And then I just had to push myself over the ledge. I said, you just got to go. And I set a date and I did it.
Wow. what was interesting as you walked through that, it was almost like you were trying to find that matching of purpose and like work.
Yes.
And it wasn't currently in what you were getting in your corporate experience. And even though you were doing well and you were going to be, you know, you're probably recognized and given more opportunities, you took a step back and said, this doesn't align to my purpose. And I need to find that alignment. And then you did all the, you know, as someone that is a planner and, you know, very studious would do, go and make sure everything is aligned to do it before making that jump. I think that's just it. That's and then the other thing that was in there was sacrifice. So you mentioned a couple of things that you actually had to not necessarily do the easy thing and not necessarily do the thing that would make you look a certain way. So I have to go back to your growing up as you talked about like that identity and finding that identity. Like I'm sure that played a key role in like taking your purpose, understanding what your identity was, finding your voice and combining those to have that confidence. So when it was that date that you set on the calendar, you could jump both feet versus dipping your toe.
You know, when we have all this conversation, I'm like really getting excited here because about identity and the conversation about authenticity in yourself. One of the things that I don't think we talk enough about is a faith identity. Mm. It's an invisible identity, but it is so strategically important. Mm-hmm. So faith for me as a Christian is my faith in God and Jesus, but faith to believe in myself, faith to believe that I fell down and I didn't get that contract because literally I left on the premise of a big contract, and within 2 weeks of leaving, the contract fell through. And I was like, how am I going to pay my rent this month? But I was like, I made this decision. I'm not going to turn back. And so my parents instilled in me that faith in God, faith in our name, our family name, and faith in myself that I can do this. Like, you've got this. And it's interesting because you talked earlier about the brand name. I didn't give myself the First Lady of Personal Brand, but quite honestly, I earned it because I had to be my first client. Like, I wrote the book Brand Me, but it really was a hypothesis. Melissa, can you do this for yourself? If you can't, please go take a seat because nobody's going to believe what you're selling unless you really have the proof that you can do it. And so all of that happens on the other side of a faith identity that a lot of times, you know, goes under recognized.
Yeah, I love the idea of the faith identity and also just like knowing that this is what you want and this is what you have to do to get what you want. And you had that, you know, that feeling of, you know, God's got my back and mm-hmm. I will get there. Yeah. But you still did the work.
Right.
So it's you mentioned your book, which I have to admit I'm almost done with, but I didn't get a chance to finish before we jumped on. And what I did love about how you drew the similarities between like brand marketing and personal branding. So as a marketer, just thinking about like these tools that we all just have that we use in the day in and day out, but are we actually using them for ourselves when we think about the product or the service that I'm providing, or value, I should say, I'm providing? Yeah. And so I'm curious, like, what was that journey like, both in going through working on yourself and working on your own brand? As you said, you were your first client. And then how did you take a step back and actually pull together the framework which became the book?
You're asking some good questions. And I'm going to tell you why, because my whole model of the business of what I do and in my life is leadership is a lifestyle. It's the way that we live and work and well-being, and Friday and Monday have boundaries, but it's the same you, right? And so if we're not actively observing our life to understand the connection. And I think the reason I was able to do that, Matt, was because of the trauma that I went through at that time. I was more open to listen to my life, you know, versus just being on the treadmill of doing life. And when I was open to listening to my life, this is so powerful, because what happened was, at the time I was doing celebrity partnerships, and I was sitting down, I was having these different conversations, but I was like, there's a missing piece. I was having conversations around how to activate a personality for selling a product. And I was having a conversation with a personality, and they weren't recognizing the value of what they had, like the product was recognizing the value of what they had, right? And I was like, something here with the person and the product. And so I started stepping back and journaling and like observing what was happening to me, of connecting the dots, my communication, my expertise in education, my career, my profession, a problem in the world. And it all started to come together as a solution that I felt I was uniquely, you know, positioned to offer to the world. But it wasn't until I stepped back and started observing people, my environment, my life, what was bringing me joy, energy, what was bringing me down, what I saw as a problem. And I was like, wait a minute. And it kind of treated like an experiment. Yeah. And I just kind of went to my own lab, you know, in my own little basement, because again, I am naturally more of an introvert, and I started putting together my hypothesis, and that's really what was the birth of what I do today.
Well, I love that, because so something I do is I try to workshop things, and I try to live workshop them. So if I have an idea that, you know, could come from this conversation, like, I love this, like, I literally wanted to write down, leadership is a lifestyle.
Yeah.
That's the headline. We're done. We can, you know, close the mics. But like, I take something like that, and then it sparks something in me. So then my next conversation is like, well, you know, I was talking to Melissa, and she said this, what do you think? Yeah. And then it's like, I take a little bit of that. And so there's something to be said about this, like, workshopping, and as you labeled it, it's like observing life, because we don't just live in the bounds of an 8 to 5 or Monday to Friday, but like, we're always like, my best ideas actually come when I'm not working. Like, that's when they actually come to me, because you're giving yourself that flexibility and freedom to think beyond the confines of a meeting, you know, an email, a memo, or whatever the thing is. And as you have undoubtedly taken on a number of clients and helped a lot of people and organizations really kind of tackle this space, I'm curious, like, what is, like, other tips or tools you would say that you need to just, like, start with, you need to go get? Because in my experience talking about personal branding, people tend to look at it as kind of a negative thing, like it's bragging, or, you know, why? Well, if I do good work, people will notice. And like, there's a lot of myths associated with it. So I'm curious, like, obviously people should read the book, but like, what are the tools that you would say somebody should think about curating or pulling together to really go on this journey of developing their personal brand?
Yes, it's really important to dispel the myths, right? It's there's a lot out there that people misconstrue as personal brand. And some people, because of social media, have leveraged that to make personal branding followers, likes, you know, influencer deals. And to me, our company's definition, my definition, is your personal brand is the promise and perception of lifetime value. So there's always one hit wonders out there. There are people in this game of entrepreneurship who can sell a lot to you, but at the end of the day, it's staying power, right? And how your value increases over time, right? You don't want to age out and be invaluable. You want your value over your lifetime to continue to increase. And you want your reputation so much so that when you do personal brand, it precedes you. You don't have to talk about your brand. Other people talk about you. But the core ideology of our method to that starts with understanding identity. and you taking ownership to define what is your unique, what I call MVP, mission, vision, yeah, purpose, and values. If you can really distill that down to meaningful, substantive value that lasts over time, I use the illustration in the book, maybe, I think I do, about the difference between a piece of paper and a $500 bill is perceived value. Right? Yeah. In New York, there's lots of paper on the ground. People walk right by it, put a, you know, $500 on the ground. Nobody's walking by that, right? Because it's perceived value year over year. So it's like, how do I make my value like money? Like, it's always in demand. People want it, they need it, and they talk about it even when it's not in the room. So one thing is that identity. The other thing is really understanding what I call image, which is how you show up. And image is an interesting paradigm given our social construct right now, but I look at image as how am I reflecting who I authentically am externally? Mm-hmm. So people actually know it with intention versus, yep, I'm gonna allow you to tell me my value based, yep, on what you see, right? Because there's a, yep, certain level that people will judge you based on what they see. So how do I tell you my story in a way that I'm intentionally doing it, that you then brand me with that message because it's who I authentically am? And then the last pillar is influence, which is what's being said when I'm not in the room, right? So how do I bring that message to other audiences and the masses, your school, your community, your company, so that your brand becomes bigger than you? And that happens through the influence and impact you make on others beyond yourself. It gets such a bad rap.
Yeah. And it's so insightful too to think about. I like your MVP because you have to start there, because you can't go to image if you don't know what you stand for, what you value, and where you're really trying to go. Yeah. And I'm always surprised. And again, I highly recommend everybody, if you are able and you have the space and resources, to get a coach. Mm-hmm. Not because coaches solve it for you, but having somebody that is outside of your day in, day out to walk you through, mm-hmm, some of these processes and these steps, mm-hmm, to identify these things in yourself, is invaluable. Like it literally makes everything so much better. But I think just breaking it down into those steps is really important, and shows people that even if you don't do that, I'm still going to have an image. You're still influencing people, but you're kind of leaving it up to chance of what someone may take away or may think or may say when you walk out of the room. So even if you don't want to do it, it's still happening.
It's still happening without you.
Yeah, exactly. So you also created the C-Suite, which is a female-focused platform, and it's meant to kind of break these outdated paradigms that we find in a lot of our environments, organizations. Mm-hmm. And so I'm curious, because for me, I always love these efforts that are meant to empower those that our systems don't naturally empower. Because as we discussed earlier, like this idea of multicultural but also multifaceted teams, like those are the best teams to be on. And so when we have things like this that help with that, I'm always interested in kind of where did it come from, and like how did this platform, you know, kind of come to you and in a way to really help unlock that potential that a lot of organizations aren't tapping into.
Oh, yeah. This is my jam right now. This is what I'm all about, because the ability to impact and change lives and change communities and companies for good, it's amazing what we're doing. And, you know, I was an individual, I wrote a book, went through this whole process, but I was like, you know what, now let me step back, and how can I institutionalize this learning and create what's called the Brand Leadership Institute? Mm-hmm. And that institute is a 6-month e-learning experience and community that's really around helping, if I had to say, where was the opportunity in corporate America specifically, Fortune 500 companies, it's with women, because they're, mm-hmm, gender and race intersect there. And oftentimes you're talking about leadership at the highest level in organizations. That's where you're seeing a systemic gap. Don't even talk about COVID now and all of what's happened with women in the workplace. Yep. So 10 years ago, really hunkered down and built a SaaS model business called the C-Suite, which is focused on this e-learning experience. And so what it really addresses, what we call the hidden barriers of leadership for women, which are around 4 C's: clarity, confidence, competence, and connections. And while companies are doing great work and trying to do better, you know, with institutional biases, pay equity, all that is public, what we would call public biases or, you know, barriers. The hidden barriers is what I'm thinking about within my heart. I'm not telling you, but I'm really struggling with. And so that's where this program really addresses that. And what's really cool about it is there is a robust learning experience that's self-directed, you can do it at any time, but you're doing it through community. So right now on our platform, you know, there's nearly 200 women from North America, Latin America, in the fall we'll have EMEA, all of these women going to the same experience together. In 2 days, they'll have a live masterclass, they'll get to connect. They're going through building the fundamentals of their personal brand, learning to say no, defining their priorities, building out a strategic personal brand action plan. It's all the things I wish I had when I was in corporate to help me not only navigate my value, but also have a strong community of advocates and networks. So we're all in for this work to support women in the corporate arena. And I'm really excited about how I've been able to turn that through our team into something that's impacting so many lives, you know, beyond myself.
Nah, I can't give you enough kudos for one, creating something like that that can scale it and to scale across the globe. And I 100% agree, those communities and having that ability to connect with others that share your experience so that you don't feel othered, you don't feel like, oh, it's just me that feels this way is truly in empowering, but also that's how we're going to go to the next level of leadership, the next level of, you know, where most organizations are trying to get. So I could probably do this all day, but I do want to switch to the brand of Melissa for a little bit. Yeah. And so we talked a little bit earlier about superpowers, but what would you say is your superpower today?
I have three. Can I do it in three?
Sure.
I like threes, but I do have three things that I say are my kind of core components of my mission, which to me are my superpowers. I am a great communicator. I'm a great creator. I have a very strong creative mind, and I'm a really strong connector. And so when I think about the Brand Leadership Institute, I think about the content we've created. I think about the creative and the community that's come together and the way we were able to use multimedia to communicate that value and to build brands. It requires all three of those things. So to me, those are the three C's that make up my superpower.
Yeah. Well, I want to recognize the fact how confidently you said that, because I think a lot of us as leaders, we have a hard time putting what we do into words and knowing what our unique value is to be able to recite it that succinctly. So that's something I would challenge everyone, no matter where you are in your journey, to get to that level of clarity, because you definitely use your power of communication to convey that. What role would you say that wifehood and motherhood have played in your journey?
Oh my gosh, that's everything to me. It has really been a choice, honestly. I think if I think about the misnomers that I think are often talked about, and I have a few girlfriends I've had these conversations with. In the world today, there's such a message of driven entrepreneurship. We talked about being driven as a woman, get your own, you can do this yourself and all that. And I remember being at a point where I was like, I've been doing this by myself for a long time. You can keep doing it by yourself, but if you really want to go farther, you have to do it with someone else. And I recognized that that meant I had to make some changes. I had to do some work that wasn't career work. I had to do Melissa work. And that honest assessment, I think, is what enabled me to find my life partner, my purpose partner, and to then have the opportunity to pursue building a family. But I will tell you, as an independent entrepreneurial woman, that's not a message that gets a lot of conversation. But I will tell you, in conversations with successful women, I have a lot of conversation about I wish I had more time.
Yeah.
So I think it's a real conversation we need to have. And if my philosophy is, whatever you want, it's up to you. No one's coming to save you to make the time, figure out a plan, and to pursue it. Does it mean you always get it? Absolutely not. But does it mean that you'll miss it because you didn't put forth the effort? That's up to you.
Yeah. Well, I can do the flip side of that and say that for me, now having a partner who is an independent, entrepreneurial, very strong-minded woman, that it does require me to understand those strengths and how do I support, balance, allow her to lead. And I think that's something that we don't talk enough about on the other side of the equation. Those of us that have been taught, you know, to be, you know, go out, make the money and just come home. It's like, no, there's much more to this life, and like enjoying the ability to be that supportive partner and to be in the, you know, the passenger seat in some of these drives and some of these journeys that we're taking. Because I don't think that was actually, you know, something many of us were told would be as rewarding as it is when you actually get into it. To your point of, I can do a lot of things by myself, but I can do a whole hell of a lot more with my teammate. And we can hit all of our goals when we're working together on that common mission. I love that idea of a purpose partner, because I think that's another unlock. You're literally writing the show notes as we speak this out. We talked earlier about the role your parents played in, you know, give you that confidence and really help you find your voice. But I'm curious, how has that translated into self-advocacy and being able to really stand up and, you know, whether it's personal or professional, to be able to, you know, kind of advocate for yourself? Because I think that's another thing we don't always think about.
No. Man, you're right in the conversation I had today. Advocacy, you know, I think a lot of times we're like, we box things in, and it's just the way our mind works to kind of compartmentalize. But you think, you always hear about advocacy and allyship at work, right? Mm-hmm. And it's important and it's necessary, but we don't talk about self-allyship. Like, am I really my own cheerleader, or am I really my worst critic, like in the head that nobody hears or sees? And we also don't talk about, like you just mentioned, advocacy in the home. Mm-hmm. Like, this is what I really need to be for help. You know, my husband and I are in a marriage class, and, you know, we're doing this virtual thing, and it's been really cool. And one of the couples was talking, like, you know, the woman says, I don't necessarily need you to solve my problem. I just need you to listen. And he's thinking, well, I thought you were telling me so I could come up with a solution, right? Yep. But that's her self-advocacy saying, no, this is what success looks like for me. This is what's helpful. And a lot of times, you know, we'll bite our lip at home or at work because we don't know how to find our voice to really get clear on what we need. And one of the things that's been helpful to me, and I, not because I come up with my own idea, but someone has shared with me, Melissa, design your life. Like, what do you really want? Mm-hmm. Why do you want it? And what do you need to get there?
Yep.
And then put the plan in place based off of that vision and share the vision with everyone around so they can understand how they can play a part.
Yep.
And that to me has been a big tool for me to advocate for myself when I'm not advocating out of my frustration, but I'm advocating out of, what do I really see? And if I can get clear, then I can help other people get clear. If I don't have clarity, I'm just frustrated. I'm not really helpful. But if I do that exercise, I find that I'm like, okay, here's what I need. This is why I need help on Saturday, because I'm tired of washing the clothes and then having to do the dish. You know, like, you can go through that conversation.
Yep. I 100%, you have to be able to verbalize what are those things, those triggers, or what are those moments and times where frustration rises, because I've definitely been in that camp of, I'm a problem solver. So if you bring me a problem, I'm going to solve it. And that's just what I do. And, you know, that is not the, you know, it's bringing a hammer and everything looks like a nail. It's like, that is not what is needed here. You just need to listen. It's like, okay, that's a different muscle, but I can work on that.
I
think that is definitely something we all need to do more of and to advocate for ourselves. And I love the idea of being a self ally, especially in your thoughts, because I think that's where a lot of times battles are won and lost before we ever get to actions, based on how we're thinking about ourselves or thinking about what we can, what we have the potential to do. So speaking of potential, have you had a Mama, We Made It moment?
Yes. Because I think about, we're celebrating in July our 9th anniversary, and like getting to our wedding and doing that and being engaged in 6 weeks and married and planning a wedding in like 9 weeks. It was crazy, but we did it. You know, we actually did it. I think in work, there's been many of those moments. I think in home, my most proud moment was our baby. You know, we went through a lot of challenges to get him here. And that was, Mama, you did that. We did that, you know. So I love celebrating those moments and also reflecting. One of the things that I started doing in every year, and I'm not as consistent with myself personally, but those Mama, We Made It moments for our son, in my notes, when he has monumental things that happen in my phone and notes, I'll just make a note of them. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the year, I'll write a letter to him say, here are all the things that you did, like, and this made Mama proud, and you made me laugh, and you said this. And it's like, it feels like it's a lot, but when you literally just capture those moments in your phone, like you capture a picture, it's easy to come back to. And so I like to do that because it allows me to reflect and come back to, like, wow, you know, to me that is the greatest aspiration for me, is to bring into the world a human who makes such a great contribution beyond my work. I think my work will speak for itself, but that to me speaks volumes. Yeah.
That lasting impact. Mm-hmm. I love the idea of the writing of the letter. So I do a similar exercise with our youngest where I send her emails. Mm-hmm. And at some point I will give her the email address when she's able to fully understand what's in that. But it's like, it's just, to your point, it's a running dialogue of these milestones and achievements that hopefully she will cherish. But I like the physical, tactile, like having the letter. Okay, so let us close out and hopefully have a little bit of fun. When they turn your life story into a movie, who would you want to play you on the big screen?
Oh, that's a good one. Angela Bassett.
Okay.
Yeah, she's strong. She's sexy. She's timeless, like all of that. Yes.
Yep. Agreed. What song would play in the trailer?
What song would play in the trailer? Andy Mineo. I like Andy Mineo. And which one of my songs would I choose from Andy Mineo? That's one of my... I mean, I like Coming in Hot.
Okay. So... the reason I do the podcast is because I just love to hear from people's unique experiences, hear their stories. But if you had the chance to sit with three people, they could be with us, they could have passed, and hear their stories firsthand, who would be your three people?
Jesus. I would want to hear from Dr. Miles Monroe. He really authored, I don't think Jesus needs an explanation, but he authored, Dr. Miles Monroe authored the foreword to my book and died tragically in a plane crash with his wife. And he really was the catalyst for me pursuing purpose. And I just have so much respect for him. And the third person I would say would be my grandmother. Yeah.
That's great. So is there anything I didn't ask that you want to share, or anything you want to ask me?
Okay. Anything that you, I'll take both of those. So what you didn't ask, no, I just would say that I'm really honored to be on the show. Really excited and motivated about mission-driven work and the work that we're doing to support women. And you support women, you support communities, you support families, you support companies in the world. Looking for companies that want to be on this mission with us, particularly now as women have been hit so hard with COVID and coming back into the workplace. So I would just say, if you're interested in learning more about the work that we do at the C-Suite to sustain leadership for women, go to thesheSuite.com. And Matt, for you, if you were a broadcaster, who would you be?
A broadcaster?
A media personality, maybe.
Yeah. I like the question. So I have a long way to go, but the person that I would like to be, let's say, in the arena of is Trevor Noah.
Okay.
So I feel like he does the amazing ability, like obviously he has the comedy and the sense of humor, but he does it in a way that's like advancing our thinking. Yeah. And so for me, you know, one of the things I get, you know, you have to know where you get your energy from. I get my energy from intellectual stimulation, but also when it's done in a way that's like taking an object that you wouldn't think of using it that way, but using it in a way that is somewhat playful, but also somewhat serious and makes you go like, huh, I've never thought about it that way, but I'm glad you said that. And so he would be like, if I was ever in the realm of being compared to, he would probably be the one.
You're good. That's what I asked. You're good. Oh, thank you. You're good at what you do. And I love your questions and thought-provoking and real authentic conversation. It's been great.
No, I appreciate you coming on. And you're one of those people that, given the work you're doing, I think that everyone can take something away and apply it in their life and in some fashion to get to where ultimately where they're trying to get. But before I let you go, if anybody, you mentioned the shesuite.com, we'll include that link. But if anybody wanted to follow you, wanted to connect with you, you know what you're up to next, where should I send them?
Yeah, absolutely. Melissa Dawn Simpkins across the board. So no P. A lot of people like to add the P in Simpkins. S-I-M-K-I-N-S. So on Facebook, Melissa Dawn Simpkins, LinkedIn, Melissa Dawn Simpkins, and Instagram, Melissa Dawn Simpkins. Not so much on Twitter, but those are my three top connections.
Awesome. Will do. I'm sure you'll have a few folks wanting to talk personal branding with you.
Let's do it.
But again, thank you for taking the time. And again, wish you continued success and the best of luck.
Thank you. You too.
It was pretty cool to get the behind the scenes story on how Melissa became the first lady of personal branding. But there are three specific things that I took away from our conversation. One is she called out the fact that you need to take time to really observe what's happening in your life versus just remaining on the treadmill of life and going through the motions and, you know, taking time to avoid some of those potential pitfalls that can be distractions. She even mentioned passing up a promotion because she really viewed it as a distraction from going after her purpose and her true mission. And so I think being an observer of not just what's happening around you, but your life in totality is a really great point. The second thing she brought up is we talk a lot about advocacy and allyship in the work setting, but also remembering that applies in our personal lives and making sure that we make time to be a self ally and to guard our thoughts and be our biggest cheerleader. And then also to advocate for ourselves and ensure that if there's something that we need in a situation that we're able to speak up and share that with others around us. Then lastly, she talked about how you really should focus on designing your life such that you're able to reach your goals. And it may not always work, but if you don't do it, it's a guarantee that you won't reach those goals by accident. And then the second piece of that was to also share it with others so they can see how they can fit in to help you reach those goals. Until next time. I encourage you, as always, to continue to share your story. It's so important, not only for you, but for others to hear your story. And if you have any feedback or any comments about any of the podcasts, feel free to reach out to me. You can reach me at all of the social channels at Matt E. Story, or you can go to my website, www.mattestory.com.